does it look like when we truly believe God, that His word will be fulfilled and that His purposes will stand? What is the level of obedience that is demanded by true belief? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us an important message that challenges us at the point of our belief. Let's join him now.
Verse 39 in the first chapter. So if you'd find chapter 1 and verse 39, and then please stand with me, and we will honor God with the reading of His word. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Oh, Father, Lord God, as we study in your word today, it is our desire that you be glorified, that you be honored, that you be made much of. By your Spirit, Father, I thank you that your grace is sufficient to wash away all our sins. Now I ask, Father, speak through me to your glory. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. There's an amazing event that's taking place here. We see the old covenant and the new covenant coming together. We see them coming together in one place at one time. As I look at this text, there's a few things I want us to see, a few things that I want to point out so that we're all on the same page. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. We understand this, that Mary got up almost immediately. This terminology is used another place in the scripture, and it gives us a better understanding of what those original words were in the original text. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 16, talking about the shepherds, after they had heard the angel's message, it said, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." They didn't tarry, did they? The angels, when they heard the message, they went to Joseph and Mary. We don't believe and we don't think that Mary and Joseph stayed in the stable for an extended period of time, do we? We know better than that. That was a place for her to give birth. So Mary, after the angel had given her this account of what was to come and then told her how Elizabeth was in the sixth month of her pregnancy, she immediately wants to get up and go to Elizabeth. And I can think of a couple of reasons why she would want to do that. One, if God's going to give her a sign, remember we talked about God giving her a sign where with Zechariah, he expected Zechariah just to believe. If God's going to give her a sign, she wants to see that sign. She's related to Elizabeth. In fact, most would say she is Elizabeth's cousin. And so she wants to see this older, beyond the age of childbearing cousin, relative, who's in the sixth month of her pregnancy. So that's one reason she went. Another reason she went, we can conclude, is because of everything that would come on her when it became known that she was pregnant. So instead of waiting there, she went to see what God was doing in Elizabeth. And mind you, Elizabeth's pregnancy was God doing something, wasn't it? It was God's movement on her. Another thing we see in this is that it was an unwavering faith that Mary had. If Mary did not believe what the angel had told her, she would never have taken that journey. That journey is believed to have been about 100 miles. 100 miles from where she was. A 5-day journey of very treacherous ground. It's believed that Mary was probably 12 to 14 years old. That's quite a journey. for a 12 to 14-year-old, isn't it? And if she did not believe God, there's no way she would have taken out on that journey to go see this thing that God was doing with Elizabeth. So she rises up after the angel has left, and she goes. After studying this, I really believe fully that she probably hadn't even talked to Joseph yet. I don't believe that Joseph was informed because of the went with haste. I think she immediately went. I don't think she made any announcements. I don't think she went around visiting anybody. The way this is written and the way it is in the original text, it sounds like she got up and went. Remember, it was also the angel Gabriel who spoke to Zechariah. He brought both of these messages. So it goes on to say, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. That was the shepherds. Verse 40 says, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So after having gone and taken this journey, she comes to the house. It makes me believe also that they were fairly close cousins, fairly close relatives. And the reason I say that is, one, she knew exactly who Elizabeth was, and Elizabeth knew who she was. Now, it might be one thing for Mary to have heard of a priest's wife 100 miles away, but what reason, except for being a close relative, would Elizabeth have for knowing Mary? So she comes and she enters her house and she greets her. Now this greeting was probably a greeting with much chatter, much conversation. But as she greets Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit of God is at work. You know, sometimes as Baptists, we get to be a little shy about talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, that's foolishness, isn't it? We shouldn't be shy about talking about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit moves. And when the Holy Spirit moves on people, those people move. The Holy Spirit moves upon us. He reveals to us the glory of God. He points us to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit never points to Himself. Nowhere in Scripture do you see the Holy Spirit showing who He is. He's always pointing to the Father, and He's always pointing to the Son for their glory. So she greets Elizabeth as she comes in verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. The baby leaped in her womb. I tell you, I've never been pregnant, but I've been around at least for a few times, right? I imagine you know if a baby at 6 months is leaping in your womb. I imagine that you're moved by that as well. I remember kicks, but that's different than leaping. I mean, this is a leap of joy is what it's talking about. The baby within Elizabeth's womb, we know who this baby is, we know it's John the Baptist, leaps with joy at the sound of Mary's voice. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth. Now remember, until the Holy Spirit was poured out after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, until then, throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given and then taken. The Holy Spirit did not reside in and on somebody all the time like He does now. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit. But she was filled with the Spirit. And as this child leaps in her womb, and as she is filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit shows her what has taken place here. Now remember, Elizabeth is a woman of great faith, because when Zechariah came back and told her, we don't see any doubting of what the angel had told Zechariah. She believed, but she kept it hidden because she knew the other people around wouldn't believe. So she kept it hidden until approximately the 6 months. Mary believed the same way. But Elizabeth, as a woman of faith, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she believed those things that the Spirit showed her. You know, there was no postcard that went ahead of Mary saying that she was going to have the Son of God. There was no news. There was no phone call. So how did Elizabeth know these things immediately? It was by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth knew exactly what was going on. She knew exactly what this child was in Mary's womb, and she knew exactly who Mary was. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit, in verse 42 it says, And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, I grew up in the Catholic Church. Those are familiar words to anyone who has spent any time in a Catholic Church. But there is a misunderstanding of what they mean. Mary is not our mediator to Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. So we don't have to pray to Mary, and we don't have to pray to the saints. We pray to the Father in the name of Christ. But these are not idle words either. These words have an importance. It's imperative that we give the proper importance to things in Scripture. It was believed that a woman's value, one of the things that they thought at that time, a woman's value was by the quality of her children. So a woman whose children grew up to be some sort of leaders was considered to be a great woman. A woman whose children were bums, well, you get the picture, right? It was above all that Mary would be able to be the mother of the greatest person to ever live. The only perfect person to ever live. The only one who came down from the Father. Mary gets to be the mother of this child. So blessed is Mary among women. Blessed is Mary among all people. Because she gets to be the mother of the greatest person to ever live. Now remember, Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God. And there was no conflict in the two. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Jesus Christ is the blessed one. Jesus Christ is the Holy One. Jesus Christ is the Savior. We know that in the announcement to Joseph, in the announcement to Mary, we know that Jesus will save his people because of the announcement. Who are Jesus' people? Well, Jesus' people are those who believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there is no other like Jesus. And Mary got the privilege of being his mother. There are some drawbacks in being this blessed woman among women. First off, people don't readily believe when you tell them that this child that you're carrying is of the Holy Spirit, you haven't done anything wrong. In human understanding, what Mary said happened couldn't be, right? How in our human understanding can that possibly happen? Born of a virgin, but we know it's true. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. I love this next verse. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Okay, now, if we believe that Mary got right up with haste and went, and it was a 5-day journey, we'll say it's a 6-day journey, from when that took place, from that conversation with Gabriel, to when she got to Elizabeth's house, is there a heartbeat in that baby yet? At 6 days old? There's not, is there? But it's a person, isn't it? Isn't it a person? Isn't Jesus Christ a person at this point? He is a baby that Mary is carrying. He's not a baby she's going to carry. Why are you the mother of my Lord granted to see me? You know, we see Scripture and we look at Scripture, but all through Scripture, it tells us that life begins at conception. We can see it if we look for it. It's there. We don't have to twist Scripture. When it comes to abolishing abortion, when it comes to the fact that life begins at conception, all we need to do is read the Scripture. We don't have to change the Scripture. Because once we have changed the Scripture, it's no longer Scripture anyway, right? So we can trust and we can see. And we can see through this that Jesus is already a person. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I'm amazed by Elizabeth. Not only is she a woman of great faith, but she is a humble woman as well, isn't she? Yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking through her and to her. But what a humble person it takes to tell your young cousin by, I don't know, 60, 70 years difference, and to put her above yourself in such a way. That's humility, isn't it? Elizabeth's a great example to all of us. we need to be more humble. The pride in Christians, the pride in churches, the pride in self is so high that we are more worried about what takes place for us than anybody else. What we really need to do is to think more of our Lord than ourselves. And I'm afraid, friends, that we don't do that. We think more of ourselves than our Lord. We fit Him in where we can, so to speak. Now this coming together of Mary and Elizabeth and the children that were in their wombs, I want to read something to you out of Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, I'm going to start in the first verse and I'm going to read the first 6 verses. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming, shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day when I act, says the Lord. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Now, verse 6, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, this is about 400 years before the birth of Christ, right? Listen to what we had a few weeks ago. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, talking about John the Baptist. This is Gabriel speaking. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. The old covenant. What did Jesus say that the wine was? This is my blood, which is what? A new covenant. The old and the new. The old is not replaced by the new. It's fulfilled by the new. It is complete in the new. John the Baptist comes in the power of Elijah, and Jesus is the one who comes after him. We also see in this prophecy, Luke 1:15, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from where? His mother's womb. What is it that took place at the hearing of Elizabeth? The leaping with joy, which is a description taken by the leaping like calves from their stall, and the coming to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their father, and to prepare the way. John the Baptist and Jesus, the one who came before. Remember when Jesus came on the scene where John the Baptist was baptizing, and he looks up and he says, this is him. Now I'm paraphrasing, of course. This is him. This is the one who I said comes before me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He says, I must decrease and he must increase, knowing who he is. This is from towards the end of John the Baptist's ministry, John chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 25. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and the Jews over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, and I must
decrease.
He knew who Jesus was, didn't he? Sometimes all of us question what we know in our hearts, don't we? Have you ever questioned it? Question, do I really know him? When you have sinned and you know you sinned, in fact, you knew you were sinning before you sinned it, and you question in your heart, why do I know him? John the Baptist questioned too, didn't he? He sent his disciples to ask, are you truly him? We must believe. We need to pray that God would give us the faith of Mary and Elizabeth, that he and the Spirit within us, his Spirit, would move us to move the world. It is estimated that at the crucifixion of Christ, or after the crucifixion of Christ, there was about 120 disciples. I would say there's a few more than that today, wouldn't you? Why? Because the apostles were so good at what they did? Guys, these men weren't any better, weren't any more confident than you and I, apart from the Spirit. Before the Spirit, these are the same men who scattered like sheep. Before the Spirit came on them, Peter was one of those who denied him, or the one who denied him. And yet, by the Holy Spirit, God changed the world using these men, these women. Don't you think that in the Holy Spirit, if we truly believe and are surrendered, that God can change our community, our counties, our state? Don't you think, if it be God's will, and we truly surrender ourselves to him, that he could change the world using us? But it will never happen if it's about us. It won't. If it's about us and not about him, it has failed already. Elizabeth goes on, verse 44, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You don't have to raise your hands, but has anybody here ever surrendered to God in something the Holy Spirit had put upon you, and you received the great blessing in doing it? Even if it wasn't easy, even if it was very difficult and caused you other issues, did you receive a blessing? Has anyone ever had that happen? Tell you what, this church has been that to us. The Cynthia and I, this church has been that. It's been hard. There's been times when we didn't understand why, but it's been a great blessing to us at the same time. When the Holy Spirit moves in you, and you are not wrestling with God, the Spirit, but surrendering to him, great things can happen. And it doesn't matter your age. We have seen God do great things in very young people and very old people. You know, one of the things that I pray for on a regular basis is revival. If you study revival, you know that revival almost always starts with what? Young people. With young people, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of. Blessed is she who believed. See, Elizabeth knows, yes, by the Spirit, because she believed. She knows that the blessing is in the believing. Ultimately, the blessing of believing is what? Eternity with God, isn't it? An eternity with Jesus Christ in what we like to call heaven. But what is not believing? If someone doesn't believe, we've talked before about the effectual call and the general call. So we'll talk about the call. All men and all women are called to Jesus Christ, aren't they? Every single person is called to surrender to Jesus Christ, to receive Christ. As growing up in the Catholic Church, never understood was that glow that was always around Jesus' head and Mary's head. You know, they got this light shining from behind them or something. But I'll bet you, if Moses' face glowed when he came and talked to the Lord on the mountain, I'll bet you Mary glowed with the Lord coming from inside, don't you think? And the fact is those of you who belong to Christ Jesus, who have truly surrendered yourself not just to go to church, but to serve him, you glow from the inside. You are of the most blessed and beautiful people in this world because of him, because of the Spirit within you. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Do you suppose that the Lord is speaking today? He's still speaking, but how is he speaking now? By his word, by the Spirit. And then he will confirm it, yes, with prayer and other people and circumstances. But he speaks those things that are spoken in the Word of God. When you read this, you are hearing what he is commanding. You are hearing his words. Do you believe that his words will be fulfilled? You know, if we really believed it, wouldn't we put that first? Wouldn't we put him first? But we have so many other things. Back to that self-centeredness. We have so many other things that we put before him, like our hair. And as silly as that sounds, I can think of some things that people put before him even sillier than the hair. I read a story, an illustration years ago. One Sunday morning, two men were out on a boat fishing, and then they heard the church bells ringing in the distance. One of the men hung his head and he said, I should be at church today. I have no excuse. I should be there. And the other man said, oh, I have an excuse. He said, my wife's sick today. Folks, we come up with some pretty sad excuses. Believe that what he has said will be fulfilled. And what he has said is that whosoever believes on him will have eternal life. Just quickly here, what is the opposite of having eternal life? If you don't have life, you have what? You have death. So the opposite would be eternal death. Well, what is eternal death? Is that just blackness? Unconsciousness? No. Eternal death is hell. It is an eternal punishment. It's a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of torment, the Bible says. In Revelation, as the seals are being poured out, you know that people actually, instead of turning to Christ, surrendering, seeking forgiveness, they hide and curse him. They curse God. What's going to wise them up? What's going to wise you up? One thing and one thing only. That God the Father, through the work of God the Son, by the power of God the Spirit, gives you a new heart, regenerates you, gives you faith, gives you sight. I was blind, but now I see, the song says. That's the only way. The only way for eternal life, and the only way that you will ever surrender yourself fully to the Lord. So I'm going to call you. I'm going to charge you today to look at yourself and to step out and believe that what he says will be fulfilled. If you'd please stand with me. Holy Father, I trust, Lord, that those who you would have are here on the days and the times when you would have them here, Lord. I trust, Father, that by your Spirit moving in this house, you are speaking to the hearts of those who are here, and that those who do not know you, Lord, oh Father, by your power, by the Spirit's power, may today be the day of salvation. And for those who do know you, Lord, may they believe completely without wavering. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.
What a remarkable truth. To live forever is eternity with God. To die forever is eternity without Him. Both are true, but only one waits for you. Do you believe God, trusting Christ for your eternity? And does your obedience to God demonstrate that you really do? We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you would like to contact us for any reason, we can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you contact us, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. May God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.